Welcome to the Fit Girl Magic Podcast. If you are ready to find your inner magic, develop great habits, and a rock steady mindset to feel confident, comfortable, and fit in your body, you are in the right place. I am Kim Barnes Jefferson, and I'll be giving you weekly doses of health, fitness, and life tips sprinkled with humor and real talk. If you're ready to be consistent without the stress of perfection, magic makers, it's time to slip into your favorite pair of PJs, grab some coffee, kick back, and listen to today's show. Welcome to the Fit Girl Magic Podcast, Episode 1. Today, I had the distinct honor of speaking with Miss Esther Blum. It was a great conversation. She talked to us about what does she do with her clients when they just feel stuck, when they just feel blocked, and how does she guide them along the journey to help them feel really good and feel amazing about their bodies while they are going on the journey. We talked through sometimes you're not crazy, and when your doctor isn't really going to budge, what are the steps you can take to really take your health into your own hands? Then we got down to talking about the one supplement that she feels that most of us are deficient in and why we should be taking it. We finished up with women. We give ourselves permission to ask for what we want. This is a really powerful episode, and I'm really excited, and I can't wait for you to just dive in. So I'd love to hear your feedback, what you have to say, but listen up and let me know.
I'm really excited today, and I'm going to try so hard to stay on path because I'm interviewing one of my favorite people. Her name is Esther Blum, and she is an integrative dietitian, a best-selling author of Eat, Drink, and Be Gorgeous, and Cave Women Don't Get Fat. She's helped thousands of women, including myself, permanently lose weight, eliminate the need for medication, lose stubborn belly fat, and reverse chronic illness. Esther teaches her clients to cultivate a warrior mindset when it comes to healing their relationship with food and unconditionally loving their body. So I want to welcome Miss Esther Blum to the Fit Girl Magic Podcast. Hey, Esther.
Hey, Kim. I'm so stoked to be here with you.
First of all, I created this segment called Badass Magic Maker, and you are a badass magic maker because I found you from your book, Cave Women Don't Get Fat. And it was at the time when, you know, everyone was like paleo or cross-fitting, and if you don't do it exactly like this, you are never going to see any results. And I was like, that just really doesn't work for my life. And I really don't know what Google world landed me on your book. And I read it and I was like, this woman is magic. How, like, everyone else is like, you must do it this way or die. And I read your book and you're like, no, you don't have to do it that way. Here are some ways based on what's going on with you, how you can make it work. So what was it in the whole like paleo world? Did you say, you know what? It can be done differently. What made you think about that?
Well, my book is the only specific diet book, or it was at the time, the only specific paleo diet book geared to women. All the books were geared toward men. They were written by men. We certainly had Sarah Fragoso and Diane Sanfilippo, but they were more recipe-based. They weren't instruction-based on, you know, talking about your adrenals and your thyroid and the metabolic consequences of how to manage the proper ratios of protein, carbs, and fats. And, you know, my practice is primarily women. I do work with men. They just don't happen to show up in my practice. And I know how women work, and I know how I work. And I'm the kind of girl where if you say, you can only eat X, Y, and Z, and you can only do this and that, that just triggers me into a restrictive eating mindset. And I was like, you know what? It's really all of our, I'm not doing anyone any disservice if I just force every square peg into a round hole. And it's each of our responsibilities. And what I teach my clients is how to figure out exactly what works for them, not for you, not for me, your neighbor Sally. Just it has to be for you. So I give everyone the tools they need to find exactly what works for them.
And, you know, that was one of the, that was so refreshing. It was like, there was no good food, bad food list. There was no like, eat this or die. And I needed that, you know, after coming out of years and years of this is what I needed to do to get on a competition stage. It was so refreshing to be like, hang on, you're asking me how my body feels? Like, what? And I think a lot of women, because if you think about it, most at the time, but even now, most of the diet books, blogs, Instagrams, all are like, you must eat this. You might do it this way if you want to look like me.
Yeah. What really is pissing me off right now is the radical amount of intermittent fasting and fasting. Oh. I'm like, hello, if you have any issues with thyroid and adrenal, that is simply not for you. And it triggers a lot of people's eating issues. So, And it's just, I'm so tired of the radical, you know, polarizing views. And I was told by many marketing experts, you know, you have to be polarizing if you want a following. I'm like, no, I know, and no. How about taking the individual into account and helping them understand the physiology of the body first? And then we decide if intermittent fasting is good for you, or maybe we work together to fix your thyroid and adrenals and autoimmune issues and get your blood sugar stable and your energy and your appetite and your cravings stable. And then we talk about intermittent fasting. So it's, you don't just jump into things. And a lot of these people are not specifically working with one-on-one with people. They're not clinicians. So I am a clinician. So yeah. Right.
And what I love about you and what your approach, and I'm the same way, like, we talk about the non-sexy stuff. We talk about, like, how does your body feel? Like, that's not sexy. Like, people want to know, like, oh, in 7 days, I'm going to have a six-pack, and in 21 days, I'm going to have a butt you can bounce a quarter off of. Maybe. That's not really
what... But there's
really
no staying power, right? I mean, it's a glam-bam, thank you, ma'am, you know, one-week stand on a diet, but I'm in it for the marriage. I am. Mm-hmm. I want you to be a monogamist when it comes to eating and your body and saying, no, I need to be patient, because everyone's done that, right? I remember in high school eating cans of beets for a week thinking I was going to lose 5 pounds. I didn't lose shit except just time and happy taste buds. So,
well, I mean, you know, think about all the crazy diets. I mean, it's the cleanse diet that, like, it was like lemon juice and like apple cider vinegar, and like, and maple syrup that you put in, and you drink that for like a week. Like, how is that remotely exciting?
No. See, that to me is not sexy. To me, what's sexy is being able to eat food that you enjoy and sit down and like always be at a social occasion, traveling on vacation, going out to dinner, and having total peace of mind around your body and what you want to eat. I mean, this weekend, I eat ice cream 1 to 2 times a year. I just don't typically crave it, but I was really craving it. And there's this incredible place near us called Milk Craft that we had not tried. And we all went out, and it was like, you know, a ridiculously large portion. And I ate half, and I was like, I don't want to eat anymore. I am so overly satisfied. And I put it away, and I had the rest of the next night. But like, it didn't occur to me to like ever try and finish it. Whereas if it was deprivation, I would have been like crazy on it. But by saying, yes, I can do this, I can enjoy a summer Saturday night with my family, everyone's happy, including me, I feel part of it. And I don't gain any weight. My weight stays exactly the same. So it's like, there's your proof in the pudding. You know, most dieters have very high cortisol. If you can just relax and trust the process and understand, like, yeah, if I eat ice cream once or twice a year, I'm not gaining 20 pounds. I'm not going to hell in a handbasket here. And I'm not ruining the effect. In fact, I'm enhancing them. So
right. And I love how you said that, because so many people will talk about the faux ice cream, you know, and I'm like, have a fucking ice cream cone and then enjoy it, you know, because what do you, especially if you have children, what are you teaching them? Like, what are they taking away from you that mommy doesn't have ice cream?
Like, we have there's a fine line. There's a fine line, right? If your goal is losing fat and you're on a very specific track, then yeah, have the faux ice cream or you know, have something where you can control the sugar and the calories. That's fine too. I don't judge in that space. But if you're depriving yourself just because you know, it's just how you live your life. Well, then, yeah, we need to re-examine, and you're not having pleasure in what you're eating. That's the perspective we're taking on this here.
Yeah. And I remember, like, one of the first things you asked me, and I love this, and I have stolen it, and I'm going to own up to that, is that you said to me, like, what's three things you can't live without? And that was like the basis of how we built a program together. It was like, what can't you live without? And I was like, oh my God, I want to drive to Connecticut and hug you, because most people don't start out with like, what are your, what, you know, your non-negotiable are usually like fitness related, but you're like, what are some of the things that you just absolutely love? And like, how can we like make that work for you?
Yeah. Cause it's, again, that's all me, Kim. I practice, you know, the happier I am, the happier my clients are. And so I say, you know, I am my avatar. I am my client. I am the girl who may not have lost the last 10 pounds and lived happily ever after. And, you know, I really have to make this sustainable and livable. And it's, I have learned the craft so well that often my client's biggest complaint is that they can't eat enough. Mm. They rarely meet their goals, and they're full. They are so full that they can't eat. Like, often they can only eat about 1/2 to 2/3 of what I prescribe them, and they're effortlessly losing weight. And I treat girls who are 16, and I treat men in their 70s and everyone in between. So it's not, I don't have a specific age range or population. I do have a lot of peri and postmenopausal women, but I also have teenagers and I have senior citizens. So it works for everybody, what I teach, and I've crafted it and spent years really understanding the mindset and the physiology. And to your earlier point about the severely restricted diet, I have never put a single client on keto to get results. I had one client, she was well over 200 pounds, and she said, I really want to try it. This is a woman who I couldn't get to stop drinking heavily. I couldn't get her to incorporate the good stuff. Her diet was really a challenge. She had a lot of mindset issues around it and was very blocked. I actually finally brought in a psychologist to help her, you know, unlock her, because I had a really hard time doing it. And so she said, can I try keto? I said, okay, I'm willing. If you really want this, I'm willing to support you. After a week, she said, oh my God, I felt awful. And I felt I didn't feel well. I couldn't go that low carb that quick. I'm not surprised by any of this. And so most people respond, and most people are coming from a place of not eating great in the first place, or just needing a really simple tweak. So to go from 0 to 60 is psychologically challenging, and physically, you know, I don't have anyone feeling unwell. I add things in before I take anything away. So people have proof of concept and say, oh my God, you know what? My energy is so much better. You know, I work on the big rocks first. Then we start worrying about every single gram of carbs in a tablespoon.
Exactly.
Of ketchup. But it's not, I'm bashing on Whole30 right now, but I'm not naming names, but you know, it's all of that.
That's how I feel. Like, I feel like those diets, air quoting, they give you a bit of structure. And if you're someone who has been like, you know, wild and woolly with your food, that can work for a bit until it doesn't. And that's where I feel most people, they get stuck, that, you know, whatever diet program plan you've been following, it's worked until it doesn't. And that's where, you know, I find that you and other people that I really respect, you come in and you say, okay, how can you take this and make it the Kim plan? How do you make it the Esther plan, so that no matter what your situation, when it stops working, you know how to make the adjustment, and you're not focused on my calories, my macros, my fats, my this, my that. And, you know, how do you kind of get that person who is so focused on following a plan to start to really like crack open and see their other possibilities out there?
Well, I often, the first thing I will ask them is, are you still going to be on this? Can you see yourself on this in 6 months? Because if the answer is no, then let's not go down that rabbit hole. But I have plenty of people that don't want to listen. They're not necessarily my clients. This is more cocktail party conversation. Usually my clients are paying me to, you know, guide them. But a lot of people, sometimes I do have clients say, oh, what do you think of this diet? You know, the lectin, the anti-lectin diet, right?
Oh, yeah.
And I say, do you see yourself on this in 6 months? If they say yes, I say, okay. But, and then often they fail and they cannot sustain it. They cannot. Even my bestie and his boyfriend, you know, they did the anti-lectin diet. They felt great. They lost all this weight. And so, and you know, 6 months later, I said, so you're still on that diet? He's like, oh no, we couldn't, you know, it was too much to maintain. So am I saying don't try things and see how you make your body feel? No, but I'm saying be open to the fact that you may not be able to sustain something so restrictive. So I'd rather let, you know, don't let perfect be the enemy of done. Get, find the plan. So it's okay. I mean, you know, if you're not someone who has colitis or Crohn's, and you can tolerate some grains, you don't have to be grain free your whole life, you know, or you don't have to be, you know, you don't have to avoid dairy if you tolerate it. Or I'm like, just make it sane, people. Don't just eliminate food groups because some schmo who has a book out told you so. Think intelligently about how you want to live your life. Question
it. It is so funny as you talk about the cocktail party because, you know, once, I don't know about you, but I try to keep it on a low key, like what I do, because as soon as they find out what you do, it's like, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? So I try to keep it like under wraps as long as possible. And inevitably someone's like, well, do you know, this is what Kim does. And so
you know what's the best answer when someone asks you, can you like, I have a desk job.
Right. You're just like, you kind of freeze when you're at a party that you don't know people and they're like, what are you doing? You're like, do I say I work at McDonald's? What do I say?
Oh my God. Honestly, I would love to see someone's reaction to them. That would be a very interesting conversation.
Yeah. So I'm at this event over the weekend and this woman, she's going on and on and on about how, you know, I'm approaching 40 and I just, what work hasn't worked before and I just can't. And in my head, I'm like, okay, take a deep breath. Do I run away or do I slowly back away?
So what'd you do? And what did you say?
So I was like, all right, Kim, just take a deep breath and just give her the 35,000 foot view. Because I was like, there's, you know, the thing about turning 40, there's a lot of issues that may or may not be body related or lifestyle related. So I took the lifestyle approach. I said, hey, I go, 40 isn't a death sentence. I said, I'm well over 40. You really need to focus on your daily habits. So, you know, what are you eating on a regular basis? Are you moving your body? How are you sleeping and how are you managing your stress? I'm like, start there before you start blaming your age. And she looked at me and like, I think she wanted me to like, you know, write out a diet plan and a workout plan. And I was like, unless you do those three things, I got nothing for you. So when someone comes to you and they're, you know, oh my God, I'm over 40 and like my world is falling apart, where do you start though?
Well, first of all, again, before I even take someone on, I spend a good 30 minutes on the phone with them determining if we're even a fit for each other. Because sometimes I turn people away if they're really not committed. I really get a very clear picture of their commitment level to solving the problem.
Right.
But yes, then I look at their top complaints or concerns or issues, right? What are their biggest pain points? If it's I'm not sleeping, which is a lot of people, I'm not sleeping and I have no energy. Well, of course you have no energy, and not sleeping is a real metabolic problem and will really interfere with your results. So first I get them feeling better, because if I don't know if you've ever had insomnia, I have, and you're just a real irritable person and it's not your fault. No one is great on no sleep. Like,
no,
there are those t-shirts, right? Those memes. It's like, I'm sorry for what I said to you before I ate my, you know, eggs and whatever it is. Like, So I make them feel better. I get them, you know, I had a woman who came to me not too long ago with 5 years of chronic constipation and hemorrhoids to the point where she had serious diverticulitis and colitis and all, you know, just it was totally going downhill. And I said, we got to get you pooping every day. That's the first thing we do. And she wanted to lose 10 pounds. And, you know, we got her in a week. She went from 5 years of problems to going 2 to 3 times a day in 1 week. That was it. And she lost 8 pounds in 4 weeks. And her goal was to lose 10. So, you know, it wasn't, I wasn't even focused on the weight loss. I just get them feeling better. Because when you get someone feeling better, someone who can poop every day, someone who can, and her sleep improved, we improved her blood sugar, all that good stuff. So when you tackle, when you give someone the gift of having them feel better, they lose the focus on the weight, and the weight comes naturally. It really does.
Exactly. You know, because weight loss is sexy, where you're like, no, like most people are so programmed to feel like crap and that they don't realize, like, you know what? You don't have to feel this way.
Right. And so I like, and guess what? You're like closer to reaching your goal than you think. It's not going to take you 5 months. It's going to take you, you know, maybe a week, maybe 2 weeks. Or, you know, the other great shift is to get rid of someone's cravings. And yes, then they automatically are much more in control of their eating and their choices. And that's empowering too. So I guess the overall answer to your question is you empower someone. You give them the tools they need to help their body function optimally and where they feel better. And the rest clicks. Like, wow, she can fix this. Maybe she can fix this too. And oh my God, can she fix my marriage too?
And you're totally right. Your marriage probably will be fixed because you feel better. Like when you feel better, like you just, it's kind of like you put on a new set of glasses. Like you were blind for a really long time. And then you're like, oh wow, I can see clearly now. Like life isn't always going to be horrible. And you know, it's kind of like what I think so many 40-somethings is that we didn't have really good habits going into 40. So, you know, if there are any physiological changes that happen, they're exaggerated because we didn't have the good habits.
It's that, and it's also, I did a newsletter about this past weekend. It's also about healing old traumas. I am finding the women who really suffer in their relationships with food have internalized very troubling messages around emotional abuse, sexual abuse, not so much physical abuse, but I'm sure it's out there. You know, and people, it's a lot of women, it's their mothers being really hard on them about their weight. And they derive their value from their weight. And, you know, you're just never going to be good enough. So they don't, they constantly self-sabotage because they just can't possibly have room in their minds that they can be a success and overcome this. And that, you know, they're not nothing, they're something, and something quite amazing at that. So you also have to really go deep on that, or, you know, a lot of women struggle with self-worth. They put their whole family first. I'm like, why on earth would you do that? That makes absolutely no sense. And so, you know, months later, we're still sitting there. I'm like, are we still having this conversation? So sometimes we have to unblock. We do a little emotional freedom technique, or I'll send them for cognitive behavioral therapy, or, you know, whatever it is to get them unblocked. And then we can move forward, because no diet in the world is going to work if you keep stuffing Oreos down your throat on the back end. It just doesn't happen.
On both of those points, you're right. If you know, there's some clients that I work with that they're like, you know, I've been on a diet since I've been 10. And for them, their habit or their existence is going, floating from plan to plan to plan to plan to plan and expecting failure. Mm. And so trying to break them free of it's, you know, in the most gentle way possible, being like, it's not the plan, it's you. And seeing what is behind you, you know, sabotaging. Because, you know, if you've told yourself the story that diets don't work, diets aren't going to work. And kind of peeling back the layers as to saying, where did that story come from? And it could come from you know, like you said, some form of trauma, or just could come from, you know, you looked at other people and you didn't look like them. And so you made the decision that you needed to diet in order to be enough. And then the second thing I see is, like you talked about, is mommy, right? You know, mommy has to be, you know, the taxi driver, and she has to be the cook, and she has to be the cleaner, and she has to be the problem solver for everybody. Yet she feels she can't take that 1 hour out and be not mommy. And so for a lot of those women, you know, what do you say to them that, like, you know, 1 hour out of the, I don't know how many hours in a week, isn't going to be the end all be all?
I tell them, and again, I literally just did this the other day, is I left a long message. A client who's a mom wrote me a long email. This long story about how she couldn't get results for herself and how she was stuck. And I left her a long voice memo. And I said, you need to sit down and have a conversation with your family and explain to them what you are going to be doing. This is absolutely non-negotiable. And anyone has a problem with it, they can figure it out. Like, it's no one, because here's the thing, no one is ever going to say to you as a mother, my family would never sit and say, you know what, why don't you take the day and go to the spa? No one has ever said that to me. My husband might buy me a massage for Mother's Day or something, but they're never going to be like, you know what, you've been working so hard, you just deserve the whole day off and you don't have to do laundry or cook. I mean, no one's saying that to me. And I have a loving, supportive family, but no one saying that. And I say to my boys, and this is, I literally had a conversation with them this week, like, hey, you know what? I'm leveling up my business. I'm going to be gone 3 conferences a year, 5 days each. Guess what? I just registered with a nanny service and everything's going to be fine. And we're taking care of this. And this is just what I need to do so that we as a family can enjoy so many things. And I can have money for you for college and blah, blah. Just end of story. And you don't have to be a work out of the home mom to have this conversation. You can say, you know what? Mommy really needs her happy time so she can take great care of you guys the other, you know, 99% of the time. So these are the times I'm going to be at my class. I mean, you're not asking for permission. You're asking for support. And that's really the difference. When it comes to financial decisions, when it comes to your body, you're never asking permission because no one's going to give it to you.
No.
And that is a great life lesson. It really is one I had to learn myself. It's, you know, especially as a mom, I hate asking for help. But if I don't say this is what I am doing, I'm angry, I'm resentful, I'm bitter, I want to eat chocolate all day or drink.
Exactly.
So think about the consequence of not doing that. You're going to be in deep doo-doo if you aren't already.
And it's funny. So you said no one's going to give you the permission and no one's going to ask you on a regular basis, like, do you want, let's eat out? Like, they're not going to say that. And I think what most women have to do is give themselves the permission to say, you know what, it's okay. And then, you know, like you said, ask for the support, because I can't imagine any family telling you, you can't take an hour out of your day to do something for yourself. Then you're in the wrong family. Because I can't imagine someone like, no, you can't go to the gym for an hour, or no, you can't, you know, turn on the YouTube and work out for an hour at home. Like, I can't imagine any family not saying no to you.
Correct. You're absolutely right. And if they do, then you're in the wrong family. I mean, then you're going to be sunk in the long run. You will really be sunk.
Right. And then it kind of like what you tapped on is like, if you find yourself kind of in that like downward craving spiral, ask, you know, is it because you're trying to find happiness there versus is that what you really need at the moment? So the one thing I want to shift to, and like one of the main reasons, like, two places I want to go. First, you said, you know what, you got to ask for help. And you don't like asking for help. And I know for me, when I came to you, I was like, I am a fitness professional. I know all of this shit. And here I was, like, I felt like I was in a freaking tornado. And it was really hard for me to ask for help. And I know that feeling, and I know so many women out there are like, you know, I know how to do this myself. Like, I know what I need. Like, what is it? I know for me, it was just like, I just finally was like, I burnt myself out trying to figure out my own shit. So how do you, you know, and we all have to come to this on our own, but how can we help women realize, like, you know what? You don't have to like slug it out alone. Like, there are people like myself and you out there that can help you, you know, accelerate through the crap.
Well, I think sometimes you have to fail enough times to say, I really can't do this alone, or I just don't have time to do this alone anymore. So it's, and I want to do it faster. I don't want to sit, and if I do it alone, it'll take me 6 months. But if I do it with help, it'll take me 3. So it's really knowing that your time is money, like, and the investing in yourself is, it's non-negotiable, because you just don't have that kind of time to sit and wait. And how many years have you already been waiting? And yeah, it's really about knowing your strengths and weaknesses. You know what? I'm really good at, I'm just throwing out an example. I'm really good at cooking meals, but man, and dieting, but man, working out, I don't do it unless I'm accountable. And to a degree, Kim, that actually is me. I really don't love working out unless I'm accountable. So it's, yeah, I mean, I hire a strength coach too, who writes programs for me and who I'm accountable for. And I log my food and show her. And, you know, eating is easy for me. It's just the workouts. But for other people, it's not. So it's knowing what you're good at and where you need help, and then giving yourself permission to ask for help and be like, it's nothing to be ashamed of. Because like you, I'm sure you have clients who are fitness professionals. I certainly do. Because they just want the accountability and they want the support. And guess what? You can't always take care of yourself. Sometimes you need someone to take care of you too.
Right. And the thing I liked about you is, like, you made me think differently. Like, there were like some out of the box things that there's things I was just doing on autopilot because I just always did it. And I was always good at food, but like you threw a couple of new curveballs at me that I was like, whoa, that's different.
Like, and what? Let's talk about those.
So the first curveball is for 6 months vegan. And, that was a curveball, but the reason why made 100% sense. It was like, you know, at the time my estrogen levels were through the roof, and you're like, you can't be ingesting estrogen as well as trying to get rid of estrogen. And I would have never thought of it that way. And I was like, oh, that makes 100% sense. Was it challenging? You bet your sweet ass. but I knew that the estrogen was causing so much inflammation in my body that I was like, if I don't do this, I'm going to be like a balloon if I don't find a way to like get this estrogen out of my body as fast as I possibly can. So that was like one change. And walking for 30 days, you're just going to walk. I was like, oh my God. I'm like, it felt like someone, like the floor fell out from underneath me. I was like, walking? That's what 80-year-olds do. Now I live for my walk. I love them.
So awesome. And how are your estrogen levels now?
Actually, I literally had about like 30 vials of blood taken from me.
There you go.
I swear, like I go there and I'm like, how many vials today? Just so I can kind of count while it's happening. And she's like, about 20. I'm like, it's okay. So they have gone down way lower than when we're working. They're getting better, but the vegan thing, like, that was like, that's really for a loop. I would have never thought to do that. And I know that but it was also a good thing for me as far as like when I throw a curveball at my clients, like, I'm like, okay, I have to adjust to this curveball. And I have to decide, do I want to be where I am, or do I want to be where I want to be?
And the mind's really powerful around that. You know, you can accept whatever reality you decide to accept.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, my reality that, you know, that I came to you for was that I knew over, I don't know, 3 years, I kept putting on all this weight. And I knew that the way I was eating and the way that I was working out, that there was something more. But it couldn't be just, my doctor told me to stop eating carbs. And I was like, okay, today's not the day I want to go to jail. So I'm just going to smile and know that that's not the answer. And so that's when I sought you out. And what about those other 40 something women out there who, you know, their doctors tell them that, you know, being brain fogged, tired, weight gain, that's just part of the package of
be it
full menopause, perimenopause, something in between, or just the fact that you're over 40 and have had a kid. Like, that's just, right. Well, that's just life. Like, and I knew I couldn't accept that. So for those women out there who feel that way, like, what are some of the, you know, ways that they can be like, get out of that, like, cycle of, like, their general practitioner tells them, like, well, your basic blood tests are fine, so you're fine.
Right. So you have to find a doctor who's going to look deeper, look under the hood and say, well, your blood work's fine, but you're not feeling fine. So clearly there's a gap. So something I started working on with clients, I use the Dutch test. It's a dried urine test for comprehensive hormones. Yep. And it's incredible because it picks up on, you know, a blood test is a snapshot and the Dutch test is time-lapse photography. So you're taking salivary samples and urine samples four times a day to look at your cortisol patterns, to look at your estrogens and all their metabolites and how they're breaking down or not breaking down or circulating in your body. So it's really been a game changer in my clients and how they feel. And, you know, most of the time too, the minute something shows up on a blood test, like, you are already so far down the line. This isn't like, oh, this is new. This has been cooking for years. So your doctor's already missed stuff down the line. But, you know, normal, quote unquote, normal in our society is Homer Simpson. That is considered normal. So if you're not fat and sick, therefore you're healthy. And it's like, health is not the absence of fatness. Mm-hmm. Health is energy, mental clarity, good sleep, muscle mass, you know, all of that. So the messaging's gotten very lost. So if you, you know, if your doctor says everything's normal, everything's fine, you're fine, everything shows up normal, then that's your doctor's way of saying, I don't know what's wrong with you, but I don't know what to do about it. And you go and find yourself a functional medicine doctor.
Yeah.
It's really that simple. You just switch practitioners.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I ended up having to do. And I went to, like, my general practitioner just for a basic yearly checkup. And she was like, oh, my gosh. Like, she goes, you've lost all this weight. Like, what'd you do? And I was like, you know what? Today I'm going to tell you the truth. I was like, it was my thyroid and my estrogen was through the roof. And she's like, how come you didn't send me the test? I was like, because you thought I was crazy, lady. That's why I didn't send you crap.
Well, and until doctors start seeing that, you know, a lot of health issues are not medication deficiencies. Like, depression is not a Prozac deficiency. Depression is an issue of neurotransmitter production that starts in your gut. So why don't you start looking at your gut health and maybe getting ruled out for parasites or bacterial overgrowth or, you know, just eating real food and taking a lot of high-dose fish oils and maybe some amino acids, then you really, you know, can get to the root cause of the problem.
Right.
But until doctors start realizing they're not serving their patients, like, that's the paradigm, unfortunately.
Was it your grandfather that was a doctor?
Yeah, my grandfather and my father, both are physicians.
Right. So, you know, as you grew up, you know, doctors in our society, still to this day, their word is law. Like, they have, you know, the utmost respect. If your doctor told you to stand on your head four times a day and, like, it was going to, you know, get rid of your arthritis, guess what? You're on your head four times a day.
Yeah.
And how, you know, for me, you know, it was even my husband, when I was like, oh, I'm like, I need to find a second opinion. He was like, well, your doctor says this. And it was like, everyone's just like, if your doctor says something to you, it's law. And it's like breaking that stigma where it's like, I feel like crap. Like, how can I feel like crap when you tell me I'm healthy? Like, I just don't, I couldn't resolve that in my own head. So the takeaway that I want for listeners is that if you feel like crap and you're eating really healthy on a consistent basis, you're sleeping well, you're managing your stress, there's something deeper to look into is really what the takeaway for this is that there's more to, like, as you said, you know, I don't want to be on medication. Like, that's my ultimate goal, is to not be on medication. But if I have to take a handful of supplements to me on the straight and narrow, I'll do it. But my doctor just throwing me a medication to, you know, make me feel better. How long is that going to make me feel better?
Exactly. Or my favorite is, yeah, even my gyno, she's like, well, same thing. I was like, well, you know, my sleep isn't great and I'm still struggling with low body fat. She's like, oh, well, just take the pill. Low estrin. It's low dose, though, so it's okay. Oh. Just take the pill. So I look at her and I just Google low estrin, right? One of the side effects is insomnia. I just, like, at that point, I was like, I'm ready to switch doctors now. Like, I was so disgusted with that. I was like, have you heard anything I just said? But no, take a pill. That's going to solve it. And it goes back to what you said, Kim. Like, why not look at lifestyle changes? Well, if your sleep is off, of course your hormones are going to be off and your cortisol and your progesterone might be in the tank and so will your DHEA. So there's all these things that you've got to look at the bigger picture and not just slap a Band-Aid on it. And think that's going to solve all your problems.
And I laugh because when you said, you know, your guy was like, take the pill, like, I feel like for me, like, that was like, if when I like look, play the, like, the highlights of like my health, I feel like my hormone issues started in my 20s and it was the pill that was like the fix-off that I was like, okay, I'll take it. And now I'm like, if I like looked under the hood back then, I probably would have like saved myself 20 years of
hindsight, baby, hindsight.
Out.
All we can do is help other people. That's all we
right.
can do.
Hindsight is 20/20. And I absolutely, you know, now I'm grateful for what I know because, like you, you know, you've had your number of health issues. And like someone tells you something that you face, you're like, oh, shit. Like, this is what you got to look at. Because I know that that's how it started for me. And it turned into be, you know, X, Y, and Z. And so, you know, that's the takeaway that I want most people is that you have to be so in tune with your body that when something is off, you just know. It's kind of like with your kid. When your kid is sick, you know when they're sick and you know when they're sick. And so you have to have that same feeling about yourself. Because I'm sure when Ben comes to you and says, oh, I have a fever and I don't feel well, you look at him and you know the days when he just doesn't want to go to school. And then you know the days when he's just dead.
Yeah, and it's funny. The teachers are always like, he has an excellent attendance record because he's not, you know, he doesn't have to stay home. I could count on one hand the amount of days he's ever stayed home because the minute he's sick, I'm like, okay, here's some bone broth. Here's some homeopathy, here's some zinc and some silver, and let's take some extra vitamin D, and we just knock it out in 2 to 3 days, he's done. So, yeah. You know, or however, whatever it is he needs. And it's, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's the body's response to nutrition, which is great.
This has been awesome. For those of you guys who are listening, like, the beauty about Esther is that, like she said, she starts with, how can I make you feel better first? And then we can talk about the weight. And I really want you to start thinking about how do you feel? And how do you want to feel? Because if you don't spring out of bed at least 4 days out of the week, you got to look at, you know, what's really going on with your energy level. And is there some shift that you can make in your lifestyle before you even start thinking about trying to make the weight? So Esther, what's like one simple, like, bold action that women can take to really start to, you know, embrace their health?
Is really speaking out loud their needs until they are heard. There's no coincidence that we suffer from a tremendous amount of thyroid epidemic. Mm. And, you know, thyroid is located right in your throat chakra. And I have seen more women going through divorce who develop thyroid cancer or hypothyroidism. There's no coincidence. So it's speaking and not giving up on yourself and your health conditions until you find the right practitioner to help you. I think that is really important. That's the emotional, spiritual piece. The physical piece is, I really like women. I'm going to tell you just, there's 1,000 clinical pearls, but today I'm called to talk to you about magnesium. And I like to give women the magnesium trifecta because magnesium treats blood sugar issues, constipation. And most of my constipate clients are all women. It treats sleep issues, menstrual cramps, cravings. You know, chocolate's a high source of magnesium. So when you're craving chocolate, maybe craving magnesium too. And it's just a great chill out anti-stress mineral. So the magnesium trifecta is you take 400 milligrams at bedtime of magnesium glycinate. And magnesium glycinate is a specific form that treats anxiety. So I don't know many people who haven't struggled with some level of anxiety at some point. So, and magnesium glycinate is great for fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue, Lyme's. It's absorbed easily and it doesn't cause diarrhea. You can double that dose if you're really deficient, really constipated, really stressed out anytime. So you take it orally. Then you take an Epsom salt bath, which is lots of self-care. That's a great source of magnesium. And then you can also, if you wake up in the middle of the night or can't fall asleep at night, you can put on a couple of pumps of a topical magnesium as well.
Gotcha. I love that because, like you said, sleep is probably, I'd say, in the top three of women issues. And if you can get some sleep, the rest of the things seem to falls in place.
And it doesn't necessarily work overnight. And if it takes a little time to replenish. But if you also find that you take magnesium and it keeps you awake all night, take it in the morning, because that's just a sign that you are super duper deficient in magnesium, as if it keeps you up all night and energizes you. So it's fascinating. But most people I know, it conks them right out. I've really only had about one client that said it kept her up at night.
So I want to thank you so much for taking the time. First of all, you were probably one of the people who like convinced me to do a podcast. So thank you for that. And second, you know, how can I find out more about you? How can I work with you? You know, give yourself a little shout out, my love.
All right. EstherBlum.com, EsterBlum. Follow me if you Google me on or search me on Instagram, Facebook. Those are the spaces where I live. And I work with clients one-on-one. I give lots and lots of talks at events. And I also am launching an 8-week online group coaching program for the first time ever, so that you can get support, whether you're partially committed and just say, I just want to try this and dip my toe in a group coaching program, or whether you say, you know what, I am all in and I have a very specific issue that, or many specific issues. I love medically complex cases, so bring them on. If I don't know what the heck I'm doing, I'll figure it out. But most of the time, I really know what I'm doing. So you can work with me one-on-one, EsterBlum.com. And I'm stoked, Kim. I think you're doing amazing things with this podcast. So I'm really excited to see for you where this goes.
Thank you for listening to the Fit Girl Magic podcast. If you've made it this far, yay. I'm thinking you enjoyed the show. Let's continue the conversation on Instagram. You can find me at Kim Jefferson Coach. In order for me to keep sharing this message, do me a favor and leave me a 5-star review on iTunes. While you're there, don't forget to subscribe so that you won't miss an episode. New episodes are available every Wednesday. The Fit Girl Magic podcast is intended to provide you with tips, tools, and strategies that will help you make better decisions about your health. I really appreciate your feedback and your support. Thank you so much.